Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
Liking the conversation we've been having with Dan Wheeler, TV professional and ministry leader. Let's continue where we left off. Would you explain to those who may not know, you were at the very first steps of shopping channels on TV?
Yes. At the time, there were 35 shopping shows on the air. I didn't realize it. But after the show went off the air, a few weeks later, I got a call from the director of the show from Telemation Studios, a wonderful guy that still works at WGN TV in Chicago. And I still stay in touch with him. And he said, "Hey, all these networks want to talk to you." And I go, "What kind of networks?" He goes, "Apparently there are networks that do what we did with America's Shopping Place." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "Yeah, HSN, Home Shopping Network, the Cable Value Network, QVC." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, they all want to talk to you." And I said, "They do." I said, "I'm not interested. I think that's a fad. I don't think it'll make it. And I got my company going here." And so I told him, finally, he kept saying they really want to talk to you. And I think they're offering a lot of money. So I said, "Okay." And one guy, I went down to HSN and I really didn't feel led there at all and told them no. And they made a decent offer. But this company, CVN, the Cable Value Network out of Minnesota, the head of their human resources would call me every Friday and offer me a little more money. And finally, it got to the point where I thought I should really go up and talk to these people, because my partner and I were doing corporate video and I was really bored with it. Every time I tried to write a creative script, all the suits would put all these red lines through it and basically jam up the right-hand column with narration, making it very difficult to fill in video. So I wasn't enjoying it. And I went up to CVN and they were really professional, beautiful studios. They made a really good offer. So I sold my shares for $2,500 in Closer Look Video Group. It then became Closer Look Creative. And last summer, my partner sold the business for $150
million. Wow.
But you know what? The Lord was good to me, and I knew it wasn't for me. Sure. He ended up doing a lot of videos for pharmaceutical companies, so That wasn't my thing.
So how long were you? Now, I'm getting, as I look at the geography, you went from Chicago to Minnesota for this job?
Yes. Right. Outside of Minneapolis, Plymouth, Minnesota.
How long were you there?
I was at the Cable Value Network a total of a year and 3 months, but 8 months into it, I found out they were being bought by QVC. Right. And the head of human resources who recruited me said, "Don't worry, they're going to offer you a job. You're the host they really want." Well, sure. When I got in for my interview, they didn't offer me a job. They said they decided to go with four women and they weren't offering any of the guys a job. So I went back to Chicago and was working for a guy named Don Hancock, who I'd worked for Christian television.
I know.
And again, I was producing corporate
Dan.
Video. And again, I was bored to death.
I know Don, and he lives in San Antonio. And he's
right.
Phenomenal in corporate and in training and motivation. You guys were a great team at a time for there.
Yeah, we were. But again, I just, you know, I was... Don also owned a stake in a Christian radio station. He wasn't around a lot. So it was only like a four-person company. And I got stuck kind of doing the business side of it, which I really wasn't enjoying it. But Don is a good guy, real good guy. And he's still a lifelong friend. But during that time, I produced a point of purchase video on a water filter. And I told the manufacturers after I was done, I said, "You should really get this on TV. It'd be great on one of the home shopping networks." And they said, "Which one do you recommend?" I said, "QVC, they're the best." And he said, "Do you know how to get it on there?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I could get it on, but I'd want 6% gross of the sales." And he said, "Sure, done." So I went down to McCormick Place. I found the buyer. It was a houseware show. And I showed it to her and she took it. And, you know, I had to produce all the testing on it and everything. And then they called me after that and said they need somebody to come and train the host. So I said, I really don't want to go out there. They didn't offer me a job. And I think it'd be hard for me to do that. And they said, well, we'll pay you $1,000 and pay your way out. It'll only take a day. And I'm like, man, $1,000, you know, I was married, had a baby, was barely making it. And so I went out, and after I trained the host, the senior vice president of talent walks me out of the host lounge and says, hey, where are you these days? I said, oh, I'm in Chicago. He said, could I have your phone number? And I go, why? And he goes, well, we might be interested in you as a host. I said, really? What's going on? He said, well, we're buying the Fashion Channel, but we don't want you for that. We want you to be on QVC. And I said, well, give me a call. And he did like a week later and said, we have to audition you. And I said, John, you watched me for a year and a half on CVN and America's Shopping Place. He goes, I know, but we still have to do an audition. So I went out there and I met all the brass at the place. And I knew it was all about the audition, though, no matter how well I interviewed. And at the end of the day, he takes me to the studio all day long. He wouldn't tell me what I was going to audition with. And he puts a mic on me, gets back by the camera and says, I want you to give me 3 minutes on the suit of clothes you're wearing and a minute on you. You ready? Go. And I said, Mark Twain once said, if you want to read a quick biography of a man, take a look at the suit of clothes he's wearing. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant we communicate so much by the way we dress. And for the man that wants to, and I just go into this thing. We get done. He goes, that's the best audition I've ever seen. I said, oh, thanks, John. We're walking out. And he goes, I just have one question. Did Mark Twain really say that? I said, look it up, John. And I left. Yeah, I made it up, but it was an audition.
Oh, I know. I'm already just hearing that, ready to buy a suit of clothes. And I think you've lost your calling now later in life. Now, I think this was all in Philadelphia area. Is that about right?
Yes. Yes. Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just outside Philadelphia.
And so they offer you a job.
They called. He called like a few days later and offered me the job. And it was a really good salary. And I went in and told Don that I was accepting this offer. And Don said, man, this must be the Lord, because I was about to tell you I couldn't afford to pay you anymore. I said, well, it's the Lord. So Don and I left on good terms. And I remember driving out to QVC, married and with a now 4-year-old daughter at home. And I prayed. I said, Lord, if this job could just last 3 years, I would so appreciate it, because I've been making so many changes and I need to get on my feet. And 30 years later, I retired, and God was good with it. Was just a great career. You know, I traveled the world. I met every Hall of Fame hero I ever had in every sport. I met more actors and musicians. I launched albums for people like Willie Nelson and Michael McDonald and Hall and Oates and all these people, Martina McBride. I could go on, but I remember sitting with some of these people. I remember sitting with Joe DiMaggio, Craig. He was bigger than life himself.
Oh, wow.
Life itself. He was on the cover of every major magazine. The great Hemingway wrote about him, and the old man in the seat. And I'm sitting there in the middle of the show going, what am I doing here?
Joe DiMaggio.
What is Dan Wheeler from St. Joe, Michigan doing with Joe DiMaggio? And God just opened so many doors.
Oh, wow. And there was a niche there for a while. And talk about that, Dan.
Yeah.
You did sports a lot, but I'm sure there were other was other merchandise you did as well.
Yeah, I pretty much did everything, but sports and music were my real strengths. And we each kind of had like each host had a major, a show that if it was happening, we were there. And those were my two areas that I did not miss. And the third was tools, which is kind of funny, Craig, because I'm probably one of the least handy guys you know. But of the five guy hosts on QVC at that time, I was the handiest. So I also hosted the Craftsman Tool shows. Those were the things I was known for. But I did jewelry and, you know, home products and vacuum cleaners and everything. But when I started in that whole industry, it was more or less known as kind of a trailer court, trailer park type of TV show. The products weren't that great. And Over the years, I watched QVC grow into a $15 billion a year business. They have international, they had shows and networks in France, which I think France eventually closed. It didn't make it, but we had it in Japan, China, Germany, England, you know, several around the. So it became a $15 billion industry. At one time, we were the richest TV network in America. And I was just back there this fall. They had me back as the guest for some NFL shows. And it was great because, you know, I said, you know, I really don't want to, I'm in ministry now and I'm not motivated by money, but, you know, they pay me well. And I flew out there and did a couple days for them. And they've already asked me to come back next year. So I still kind of keep in touch with the place and kind of try to keep my chops. But, you know, I'm more about the Lord and ministry now.
There you go. I want to talk about the ministry. We want to talk about the ministry in a moment. Big transition as Elizabeth is diagnosed with cancer and really, how do I say it? A poignant book came out of that, Hurricane of Love. Talk about those days, huh?
Yeah, thanks, Craig. I appreciate that. That day, she called me at work and she had been feeling sick all summer with stomach aches. I kept saying, Beth, if you don't get to the doctor, I'm going to carry you to the doctor. And she finally went and I came out of a meeting and I had about five or six texts from her and missed calls. And she said, you've got to come home right away. And I called her and she said, the nurse did an ultrasound. And on my way home, she called me and said, you have to get right back in here. We're worried this might be cancer and we have to take a biopsy. And boy, I remember I had a few meetings. I went into my boss's office. I said, Jack, can you cover for me? I can't make these meetings. I'm not on the air. I've got to go home. And I told him. And from that day, he was so supportive of me. And then the next week, it was confirmed. That was a long weekend that it was cancer. And then we started looking for the best surgeon in the Philadelphia area, and we found him at the University of Pennsylvania, and through a miracle, got her in for surgery on November 14th of 2012. And boy, that day was a long day. My daughter and I waiting in the waiting room, and UPenn Hospital is so big that the doctor doesn't come and talk to you. They give you a phone call. And you're watching these screens. It's kind of like being at O'Hare Airport. It has your patient's name and you have to track them and where they are and how much longer in surgery. It was a 7-hour surgery. And I get the call from the doctor and he said, Dan, I was able to cut out what I could, unfortunately. And as soon as he said, unfortunately, it was like a bomb exploded in my brain. I couldn't even think. And my daughter, who's a nurse, was with me. And she grabbed the phone and put on her nurse's hat and talked about it. Then we went in a back room and we cried. And the next week, meeting with him, it was stage 4. And he never told us that, but I saw it on a report laying on his desk that first day. And I remember trying to keep Beth's attention away from that. And I say in that moment, my priorities were turned upside down, but ultimately right side up. Everything changed for me that day, Craig. I was so fortunate and blessed with the career I had and the position God put me in. And I was living for myself. I mean, I'd say, you know, for my family and make a good living, but the Lord had fallen back in my priorities. And that day he instantly moved up to the top and he hasn't moved since then. He will always be at the top of my priorities. And the next 3 years were a cancer journey. I can get into that whenever you want.
Okay. Out of all this, and I'm going to do something that's rare in this podcast. When we start coming to the end, I want you to pray for people that might hear this across the world. We're in 71 countries of the world, and you don't know who's out there. But
right.
For the moment here, as we talk, Dan, you wrote a book out of this called Hurricane of Love about
right.
Where can people find that? What kind of effect has that good book had?
Boy, it's God has used it in such a tremendous way. It's the best place to get it is on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. It's in some bookstores, but I think now it's been, you know, I wrote it in 2018. It really started hitting in 2019. God allowed me to be on the 700 Club, and Jay Sekulow, the attorney, he wrote me as I was leaving QVC, and I couldn't believe it. And he said he watched me all these years and that his family would be watching my retirement show and how I'd been a blessing to him. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me, Jay? You know, it just shows you, Craig, you don't know who's watching. Right. He and I formed a friendship. And when I told him, he knew I'd lost Beth. And when I told him I was writing a book, he said, well, I'd like to launch it on my TV show and my radio show. And he's on 2,000 radio stations. He's on all kinds of TV stations. I said, Jay, you're kidding me. You don't do that. And he said, no, but once in a while, I'll do something a little, you know, separate from politics and what's going on in the country. And you become a friend. And I'd like to do that for you. So Jay was instrumental. I launched it on his show down in Nashville, and he just sold so many books for me. And I've heard from people all around the world, Craig, that have been touched by it, and people that have gone through a similar, you know, everybody suffers pain. Everybody has something, and everybody's lost someone. And God just gave me the book. I remember, you know, I was writing it while I was still at QVC, but then when I left, I went from this exciting life of being in a TV studio and being able to kind of direct it. You know, I was kind of in charge of the show and us making our sales goals. And I went to sitting in my office at home and trying to write this book. And there were days where I just couldn't write a word. I'd just sit and cry and relive the whole thing. But I knew I was supposed to write a book because Beth was so special. I wanted the world to know about her. Mm-hmm. I named it Hurricane of Love because my niece, Tara, actually the day that Beth died, wrote in her on Facebook, she wrote, my Aunt Beth's love was like a hurricane. It hit everyone in its path.
Wow.
And I said, Tara, if I ever write a book about her, that'll be the title, Hurricane of Love. And the book's about how she faced, you know, it's a lot of how we met and my journey and trying to be a on-air personality for QVC at night, being upbeat and jovial, knowing that my wife was dying of cancer. It was a very difficult journey, and the Lord really pulled me through it. But the book's on Amazon.com. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. Hurricane of Love by Dan Wheeler. And it's got about 500 reviews on Amazon, all most of them 5-star, 4.5-star. A few people gave it a low rating because they said they weren't ready to read the book. And I always tell people, if you've recently lost someone, you know, you might want to wait a few months, or if you know someone. And then I wrote an article for crosswalk.com that really took off and sold a lot of books for me. It was about the year of firsts that you go through after you lose a loved one. You know, you don't want to get out of bed for several weeks, and friends would come by and want me to do things, and I just couldn't. But Brian Rowland and Terry Steen stayed with me a week after her celebration of life service. And on that Friday, I took them out to lunch. The Bloomin' Onion, Outback Steakhouse. We're eating a Bloomin' Onion. And I said, guys, I'm not going to be with QVC much longer. I feel like I owe them 2 more years because they've been so good to me through this journey. But God's calling me into ministry. And I said, the last 3 years, he's been calling me. And I felt it. And I felt him in his gentle way speaking to me that, Dan, it's time you did something for me. And I told Brian and Terry, I said, guys, I'm in my 60s now. I was 61 at the time. And I said, I feel like I've done nothing for the Lord. And I said, I'm going into full-time ministry. I don't have a clue what it'll look like. And they both said, can we help you? We feel the same way. And 8 years later, the Lord has really blessed Fearless Faith Ministries. But the book, you know, it's kind of about our journey, but mostly about Beth, how she faced death so fearlessly. And we formed Fearless Faith Ministries based on that. She was seeing heaven in her final days, and she would tell me, she said, I'm really sad. I don't want to leave you guys, but I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. And that's the key. I want people to know where they're going when they face their final day.
Great talk with Dan Wheeler.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.